Good afternoon, Jamie.
Keithtronics. What's up, man?
It's going to edit that out so hard. I'm just clipping.
Really?
Oh, that's pretty loud. But
yeah, big waveform. I see lots of waveforms. What's going on, man?
Oh, not a ton. Not a ton. Just enjoying the summer, minus a flooded basement. That sucked.
What?
Oh, yeah. I guess I haven't told you this. Yeah. We got like 5 inches of rain in 2 hours or something last week. And so my basement flooded a little bit.
You don't have a sub pump?
I do. I just could not keep up with how much water got dumped. It literally was running nonstop for like 4 hours. We have a backup.
It was also you need a backup backup.
I know. I'm thinking about putting in a backup. Might have to have a backup pit too. Like just put a whole separate thing in
there. Dude, you need a sump pump enterprise edition.
I'm upgrading I'm turning my boat from a one engine boat to like a two engine boat, you know, just putting two primaries down there. That's the goal. This is what people
do. That sucks.
Sump pump talk. That's what insurance
is. It's a good way. Yeah, it's a good way, actually. My basement flooded twice, and I actually liked it. Sucked at the start, but like then you just get rid of a bunch of shit that you never used anyway.
Oh, see, we had like virtually no items damaged. They just had to rip up all the floors. So we have no carpet and no flooring, and that'll need to go in there. And then our doors are like waterlogged, so we have to replace the doors too, which sucks, but...
Dude, were you guys not home, or you just kind of saw it flooding?
I mean, there was literally nothing I could do. Yeah, I was just, was like, well, it's going to flood. So I'm going to move stuff, put things on the counter. Like I flipped over chairs and put them up on the tables. Like I'm just down there in my big rain boots, just wading around through stuff.
Dude, you should have brought a boat down there.
I mean, it was like, it probably ended up getting to be like 3 inches of water across my entire basement, but it was enough to total the floor. So good times.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, though, things are going pretty good.
Yeah. I got a new bike.
Ooh, nice. Because
a new e-bike.
What happened to the previous e-bike? You just needed.
I still got it. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. This guy's basically a motorcycle. It's not really a bicycle at all at this point. Like it doesn't have pedals.
Does your previous e-bike have pedals?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I always imagined it like a mini bike. Like, did you ever have a mini bike growing up? Yeah.
Like a gas
yes.
boy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No, I never did, but my cousins did and stuff.
I always thought the term mini bike was the stupidest thing ever. It's kind of like semi truck. I'm like, no, it's a hell of a lot of truck. It's not semi anything, you know? It's terms like that that kill me a little bit. I mean, I guess it doesn't have a truck bed. Maybe that's why it's semi, it's partial truck. But I'm like, no, that's a big beefy boy.
Yeah. So this guy, this big beefy boy, meaning my e-bike, it goes like up to 48 miles an hour. And then, dude, the range on this thing is like redonkulous.
So I'm waiting for you to get so the e-bike, so you have like the Tesla of e-bikes now, essentially, right?
It's pretty, it's called a Suron. It's pretty popular. It's kind of like, they have like specific kind of models or types of e-bikes. And this is kind of like the bomber e-bike with, there's a bunch of them out there, but Suron's kind of the nice. Best. Like, dude, the engineering on this thing is freaking insane.
Nice.
It's so nice. Yeah, it is kind of like the Apple of e-bikes. Anyway, so I got that. That's nice. Been doing riding around and working and going to coffee shops now again. So
nice. I could go to a coffee shop. Maybe I'll do that after we get off this call.
Just
coffee. I haven't had enough coffees today.
Coffees,
yeah.
I also got back from vacation. The last time you released that episode, I was in vacation. So
nice.
I
appreciate Where'd you. Go?
Went with my family, like my mom's whole side of her family. It was like 18 of us. We went to Dominican Republic.
Nice. We were going to do that. Did you do like an Airbnb down there?
No, we did a resort.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We had it all booked pre-COVID to do like an Airbnb in the Dominican Republic that was going to be like awesome. Mm-hmm. And it's like I was learning Spanish because the Airbnb had like a maid that only spoke Spanish, but she'd like pick up groceries and cook dinner and stuff. I'm like, this is gonna be dope.
Yeah. And then
COVID happened, so it sucked. But
did you guys just cancel it or delay it? No.
Well, now I have two kids. Like I traveled to Florida and wanted to shoot myself in the head, so
yeah,
I'm not flying to the Dominican with
you're in Florida,
tiny kids.
Yeah.
Well, it was the act of getting to Florida that made me want to blow my brains out. But
they lost my luggage.
Oh, really?
Going to Dominican. So that was
sucked. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. All my weed was in there. So that really sucked. So, but I got it back after like 2 days, but I had to buy a bunch of gift store items. I got $25 bar of deodorant. Cost $25.
So you've thrown me off with the whole.
My swim shorts were $85 and the worst. Nice. Anyway.
Nice. So after your thing about they lost my weed, every single thing you were like, I had to buy convenience store. And in my head, it's going weed. I had to buy $25 weed. I was like, why does it just keep finishing all of these sentences right now?
Well, my nephew, my older nephew, took his friend there. He's like 24. And he went and bought weed from, you know, a local there on the beach. And they just threw in cocaine. I go, dude, nobody just throws in cocaine. I go, don't you touch that stuff.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
That's how you get the customers to come back. You just give them that little sample.
Yeah, just give them fentanyl laced with baby powder. And call it cocaine. Anyway, this got off the rails.
Yeah, that is taking a weird turn.
So yeah, I got my luggage back. There's some drama there. It's a lot of banging on windows. I wasn't leaving without my bag. I saw my bag in the airline office, but there was nobody there. I was like, oh really? It's right there. It's right there.
Oh no.
So that's I ended up paying yada, yada, yada. I ended up paying a cleaning lady $5 to let me in. And I just grabbed my bag and left.
So you stole your bag? I mean, it's
no,
effectively
you claimed my bag.
You bribed a cleaning lady. So she didn't know it was your bag. And to her, you were stealing a bag.
I did. Well, I did show her. Bucks. I said, here's my ID. My name is on that bag. I'll show it to you. Okay. I mean, it's a very like distinctive bag. It's like a North Face. Like nobody I've ever seen have this bag. And I'm like, that is definitely my freaking
Which
bag.
Makes it the bag. Prime stealing bag. Mm-hmm. Look how dope that bag is. I'm going to steal that bag.
Yeah. Yeah. Except when I see you walking out with it, which I went and checked, everybody was leaving.
That's anyway. Funny.
So work stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Do you want to go first or you want me to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Yeah. So I worked on Tetsu a bit. I had some issues with my depression and stuff, so I didn't get a lot of work done. But I did do a lot around the marketing effort. So I built out the changelog stuff. So I'm using, Pardal Markdown. Package,
oh, you know, I package? Saw that you had liked this or started or something in GitHub the other day. I did not look at it.
Actually, I unstarted it and started it again. That's weird. I was like, oh, I already started this. Anyway, so that's done. Displays, it looks at markdown files in the repo and creates posts off of that. And it's really pretty easy with that Pardal markdown.
Nice. It's a tongue twister, though.
I know. I don't know where that comes from. And I always have to look it up. I literally just put it in my notes so I remembered it. But I like the ones where you prepare. Mm-hmm. So that's done. And then I started working on the newsletter sign up. I actually converted it to, I was just going to use like a little sprinkle of Alpine. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to do some live view stuff. So I switched the whole page over to, well, just that section to use live view. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I haven't never really played with live view, like in a production setting. It is. Yeah. It's easy as hell. So
yeah, it's pretty cool. Sweet. Yeah. It's very fast too.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. 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 So those are kind of the two things I did. My goal was to have that done, by this time we talked, but I was, not feeling it, man. I was pretty non-productive in the last like, since I got back from vacation. So,
yeah.
But I am going to continue working on that. I want to do a fuck around Fridays this Friday.
Every time. I'm one of these days, they're going to happen. Has one happened yet?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I missed it. Happened. Okay. Gotcha.
No, it hasn't happened.
Oh, okay. No.
Yeah. I was waiting to like do the intro. Like I'm doing this intro thing and I need like this prop I haven't gotten. And so I'm just like, you know what? Fuck that. I'm just going to, you know.
Wait, hold on. So these have been delayed because you didn't have a prop? Yep. Amazing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That actually, I would take that excuse. You ordered props. That's great.
Well, I mean, it is part of the, you know, get your notebook before you start journaling type of, you know,
I can't, issue. My pen's not nice enough.
Yeah. My pen.
I need a nicer pen.
That's part of the depression talking as well. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I just got to do it, man. I'm just going to do it. So
yeah, you just let me know. I'll tune in. Cause you're live streaming.
All right.
Or is it like, are you recording or are you live? Okay.
Both.
Both. Nice.
Yeah. So I'm just going to work on that and then work on some of the tattoo, get back to actually the building tattoo,
the core of tattoo,
the core of tattoo, which is like, you can create a meeting now and do a meeting and go through all the meetings. But, I want to work on a little bit of the setup, like the onboarding, mm-hmm. so all that's in place. And then just kind of work down kind of some high level, features like vacation mode and kind of just bring stuff over that I have existing.
Yeah. You're just trying to get to feature parity.
Yep.
Like exactly. While improving things. So yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. 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 So
cool.
Yeah, that's it, man.
Nice. Nice. I'm looking forward to tuning in. You just got to send me the link to, your, live stream on Friday.
I will do that.
Cool. Yeah. So on my end, I don't remember I'm pretty sure last time I said all that stuff I said I was going to do, I didn't do any of that stuff. Cause that's my usual MO. This time around, I actually did do some things, but I'm going to take you down the journey of Keith Plays Too Much Rocket League. And, that became an obvious issue to me. I'm like, cause it's my after work hours, like, I hang out with kids until I get them down at like 8:30 or whatever. And then it's like, I have like an hour to myself roughly before I hang out with Kendra and I was like, I'll just play Rocket League or something. And so I'm like, well, that's literally the only time in the day that I have to work on things.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to reevaluate my priorities here. And, so that's where we came to. I have an accountability, partner essentially in Gale a little bit, who was my doubles partner for playing Rocket League most nights. And that was basically like, hey dude, I'm gonna not play any games until I've shipped something for the week, and then I will allow myself to like relax on a couple
that's
days.
A good so, idea
so Sundays are fair game because Sundays are my Sabbath, they're not a day of work, so I'm not going to restrict myself from having fun on Sundays. But every other day is like, you know, starting on Monday, moving through the rest of the week. It's like, if I haven't shipped anything this week, then that hour is devoted to making progress towards shipping something. And then if I succeed in shipping something, then it doesn't have to be devoted to that. And I'm like 3 days into this now and things are going good.
Oh, cool.
Maybe 2 days into this.
Something so like when you say shipping something, you just like, it can be anything. It can be like a, like just jotting down.
Not like a PR. No. Like if it's going to be something for Coder Journey, it's like, I have to ship the video or like at least have it in a pre-shippable state, right? To where like I've scheduled when it's shipping, all the stuff is in YouTube, but it's not going to go live until Monday. Like I would count that.
Is that something you can do though with like an hour a day?
For, oh yeah.
You know, no, 3 days.
I mean, the odds are it's going to take me until Friday night to get there. You know what I mean?
I got you. So you're going to basically take like a week off maybe of video games, ship that.
No, it restarts every week. Restarts
every week. So you can get, I don't see any time though when you're available for Rocket League.
I know. It's going to be a bummer. It's going to be a real reward when it happens. But that's why Sundays exist as a day of rest. Is that that's the day I'm allowed to just have fun and I won't work. Because if I actually make myself work on any side project or whatever on that day, then I'm just going to be mad about it. And it goes against my religion. So
there you go.
So there we go. But yeah, so I look at it and it doesn't necessarily, I'm not committing to I'm shipping a video a week or whatever. I'm committing towards like if by the end of Saturday night I haven't actually shipped something, then like bummer, right? And then the progress I made towards whatever I'm doing will roll over into the next week. Mm-hmm. So it could potentially be that, like, well, I shipped it on Monday. So I freed myself up potentially this week if I want to do some other things. But
I see. Got it.
But I'm, yeah, so I'm doing that. So yesterday I started actually outlining my first tutorial in a long time, doing a tutorial on Mermaid.js as like a precursor to digging into like setting up a project, like doing my revamping my Rails tutorial series.
Dude, I've never even heard of Mermaid.js.
It's diagramming using text, and it works in GitHub Markdown files.
Oh, yes, this is what they use.
Yeah, so you can do like triple backtick mermaid and just type one of these things up and it just pops up when you in your README.
This is not what they're using for live what's that notebook app that in the Elixir ecosystem now?
Oh, live notebooks.
Livebook. Yeah. Is that what they're using? Because you can do diagrams. I know they're using Kino for like
No, that's, I don't think that's what they're using for this. But well, maybe it might work. So mermaid stuff can be rendered in Jupyter notebooks, which are what live notebooks are based off of. They're just like an Elixir backend to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not any of the same code, but it's like what it's trying to mimic. So it might work. Who knows? But basically, I want to use this so that on my first episode of my like Rails tutorial series, where I'm talking about like breaking down the project or whatever, I can diagram some things in the tutorial. So I'm having a little mini tutorial as the first one to be like, this is an introduction to using Mermaid, why it might benefit you. Even if like, I'm not a visual person. Like, so for the most part, diagrams, all that stuff are not, they're not meaningless to me, but they're not my go-to way of processing data. Like I can just look at text and understand what the hell's going on most of the time. Mm-hmm. But a picture's worth a thousand words. So knowing how to create a diagram for the sake of communicating that to somebody else is valuable. And I think this is a pretty cool tool for somebody who is heavily invested in like a text-based workflow. Also, mermaid diagrams are just text. So you can source control the shit out of them and see that how they change over time. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of little benefits to them. So this is going to be my first
slide. I did look and Livebook does support Mermaid.js.
Nice. That's cool. So it's pretty cool. I don't think it's going to be a terribly long tutorial for me to go through. And it's not going to show you like, here are all the things you can do with Mermaid. I'm going to give like a synopsis. So like, here are the ones that I use, right? Like I mostly use flowcharts for them or like sequence diagrams for things. But yeah, just talking about, we're going through an example of like creating some of those and how you can use the live tool that they have for it, like a live editor to kind of create those things and visualize it on the fly and using them in GitHub and that kind of thing. So that's the first one that I'm working on.
Nice.
Yeah. So I also, go ahead.
How far did you get with that? Like
with writing the tutorial?
Yeah.
Well, it took me a little longer last night to get everything set up because I haven't put anything on Coder Journey's website in a long time. So it was still on GitLab. So I moved it over to GitHub. I had to like,
you did your, yak shaving.
I did some yak shaving. Yeah. But that was mostly because it's like, oh crap. I've got, just a whole mess of tooling things that I would like to work out a little bit better. I was like, well, okay, I don't have any good. I literally lost wherever I had outlined videos before, like done like a content calendar plan. I don't know where I put it. So I did that again. And I made it under like the Coder Journey, Oregon GitHub and started doing that stuff. But I made it probably through, I don't know, a quarter of what I would assume is this tutorial's outline in text, which takes me way longer than it takes me to record. Like I can record and edit probably way faster than I can write these things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like writing talks, right?
So yeah.
It's like actually giving the talk is 45 minutes, but writing.
Yeah. I mean, it was always one of those things that was a misconception when I would teach training architects at a Cloud Guru, like what their job was. I would be like, what do you think your job is? And they'd be like, recording videos. I'm like, no, you're going to spend, if you're efficient, you're going to spend 60 to 70% of your time writing, and then you'll spend the other, like it'll take 20% of your time to record and edit the video.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very much how this stuff goes too. So, yep. But got things set back up. Have kind of, cause it's been a while to, since I've done this. So yeah, I was happy to see some progress on it. My goal for tonight is to kind of in my hour to probably finish outlining it and then be able to record and edit it probably tomorrow evening.
So you just go straight from like outlining to recording, or do you like create like scripts or what?
I don't use scripts. Give me 1 second.
No.
Yeah. So when
good mute button worked. You're like a pro. All right, go ahead.
It's not my first rodeo. But although sometimes I miss the button, I still just cough right in your ear, which I always feel bad about. But so when I actually outline things, I don't outline it in like the typical sense. I write a blog post is how I do it, because I always ship these things with a blog post. And I did this when I worked at a Cloud Guru too, because I had a lot of students who were ESL, and I understand that sometimes I can speak a little too fast, or I'll accidentally use some sort of American phrasing or terminology that I don't realize is specific to our area. Mm-hmm. And so I write out a written version of my tutorials too. It's better for SEO on like my website or whatever, because Google can scrape that crap, but I don't read from it. Break it into sections. And then I really use any code blocks that I put in there as like guideposts for myself to know, like, this is how I get there. And then when I do my recording, it's just like live coding essentially that I go through, and then I just edit it down when I make a mistake. And so it comes out a little cleaner than a normal talk would, but it's nothing scripted. I'm just off the top of my head.
Do you like when you're recording, do you record just a little section and then kind of stop or pause, and then
if I make a mistake, then I'll leave a brief pause. And that's mostly so that when I'm editing, I can just look at the waveforms and I can just chop it out. So but editing is one of those funny ones, because I got it down to where it would take me 1x the final product time to do the edit for a video. So if like my initial raw recording is 15 minutes, but the final recording is going to be 12 minutes, it's going to take me 12 minutes to edit the recording. Mm-hmm. And so that was like, I don't know that I could have gotten it any faster than that while still actually listening to the recording. Yeah. But it's like, basically I would just like, I didn't even listen to it. I would pull the scrubber through the file, like all the way, and listen to myself basically in chipmunk mode. And then just like hotkey, just like, just chopping things in different spots and moving things and overlaying things, and got pretty efficient at it. So I'm probably going to be a little bit slower this time around, because it's been a year since I've done any of this, but I'm kind of excited to get back to it. But I'm not restricting myself to only doing videos either. Like if I on any given week, it could be like, I'm going to just write a blog post this week or something like that. And I would count that as shipping too.
Yeah.
And so I want to be exercise my creative muscle and create things again, instead of just being a consumer of the things around me. So that's where we're going.
And
I'm exercising again, which is good. Actually exercising. I'm just doing like body weight exercise now for stuff, but I'm doing it like every other day kind of thing. I've done it, I don't know, a couple times at this point. And dude, yikes, am I out of shape. Holy crap. I did like way too many squats the other day. And then like the last 2 days, I'm like, oh God, like I have to get out of a chair. My legs are just, I'm like, I feel like my thigh's going to just snap, you know, just, it's horrible.
Dude, since May, I fell off the workout train. Paying $200 a month for nothing.
Yeah. Wait, is that just your gym membership?
It's me and my wife's. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
It's like a, yeah, but it's an expensive place for like 2 days a week, but it's freaking nice. And they do good work, but yeah, I just kind of fell off and
haven't gotten
on. Mainly because my wife, like I have no kids to take to school. So like my mornings are all effed up, dude. Cause I don't get up.
Yep. You don't have any reason to leave the house. And so it kind of throws off the like, well, I was already out of the house, I'll just go to the gym or whatever.
And my client was, you know, he's, they're West Coast. So it's not like I need to get up early to like, you know, respond to them or whatever. So yeah, I haven't been getting to work until like 10, 11 and work until 7. But I do like that hour. I like that hour of like, you're not allowed to do anything unless you do this hour stuff. I think that's pretty easy to kind of fill in. So I think
I needed to give myself I needed to acknowledge the fact that I'm not the Keith that existed when I created Coder Journey, who didn't have any kids. And I was 6 years younger, obviously. so that's just not the state I'm in. Like, yep. At that point in my life, I used to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And my morning routine was like, just really like, I would exercise and meditate and do all sorts of stuff. And I was in such a good spot. And now it's like, I wake up in the morning and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do really cool stuff and meditate. And then a baby starts crying. I'm like, I fucking hate the mornings, man. So yeah, that's how that goes. And yeah, it's a different world. So I was like, okay, I don't have enough energy a lot of times after work. So I need to change that. And how am I going to change that? I need to exercise. So I baked my exercising into my work day. So I just I have a break scheduled that is like, don't book time with me right now. I'm exercising. And so that's how that worked. And then the days I'm not exercising, I'm going out to my garage to do some woodworking for that chunk of time too.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. So you just work out at home, like just regular, like,
yep,
you know, burpees, yep, and yeah,
just body weight stuff for the most part. Because yep, I'm like, I'm not looking to get jacked, right? I really, and cardio.
Oh, you got to fooled me.
I know, right? I look it, yeah, man, I would look so weird, I think, if I was a jacked dude, but
dude, I'm going to Dolly and asking it, Keith Thompson, but jacked.
Dude, it's gonna give you all the weird artwork, because the most famous Keith Thompson is an artist that draws like screwy looking stuff. That's amazing. But yeah, so but the exercising though has given me the energy, because I was like, I need to figure out my energy problem so that I have the energy to work on things in the evenings. And that was definitely the right call. So I'm feeling pretty good about myself right now.
It's awesome, dude.
I'm excited about Coder Journey again, which is a thing that I really haven't been super excited about in quite a long time.
That's cool, man. I'm excited to see stuff kind of coming on to that some more. I think also you should like revisit your Patreon as well. I think like, yeah, once you start getting up, because like $1 a month is like, I don't know, man. Like nobody's going to do that, because
I closed my Patreon.
Oh, did you?
It just doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, I thought I was still paying, but
you're not still. Well, I shouldn't be still paying.
Mm.
Well, you were still technically paying, but I did it on a per release. So like I did it as you would only get charged if I release something through Patreon. So nobody was paying anything. It wasn't like a monthly.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
But yeah, I think you and like my father-in-law were still on there. It's one of those things. Like at that point, like, yeah, it would be really weird I was like, I would feel bad if I put something out, you know, because I'm just like randomly charging something. Like, I haven't paid for this for 5 years. Like, but,
that's cool. I'm thinking of
go ahead.
Go ahead.
So I do have an buy me a coffee page. I'll probably just link that to my thing. Cause I'm like, subscription stuff's like not really like, I don't want people to feel like that, but if they like find a video and they just want to kick me $5 or something, like they can do that. And I already have it set up, and you can actually do subscriptions through there too. Like if you wanted to like pledge a couple bucks a month or whatever, cool. You can do all that stuff through there.
That's cool. So I've been like really, it's been hard for me to get working on my client work. It's just like the project we made is completed, and it's more of like building more stuff for the same thing. And it's just hard for me. I'm not excited about it. Mm-hmm. So I've been looking at some other options and stuff. And I was looking at this tuple position. Ooh. Have you seen this tuple position?
I have not. Are they looking for a...
Looking not for Rails, C++ a web developer.
Nice.
So, I don't know. I think it'd be pretty cool to work with a small team like that. I'm just afraid of like big organizations as like, you know, a way back into the job world. Kind of scares me.
As a person who's only ever worked on small teams prior to coming to Shopify, it's a learning experience. Today or yesterday, I wrote a proposal for a project to work on. And I was like,
project proposal.
I don't know that I'm corporate enough for this. And I wrote it, and like, it's at like the wrong level of detail for how I communicate. So I had to rewrite it like 3 times before my manager's like, this is to the point. I'm like, I literally said all the same crap in just like a different order. I'm like, It's one of those funny ones. I'm like, I'm going to learn how to navigate this at some point. But yeah, it was one of those where it's like, you got to be more problem focused, not solution focused.
Yeah. I just know myself. That would be so.
And you would just be like, fuck this, I'm done.
Yeah. I'd be fuck this. So I'm that's why I've like, I mean, I've thought about, Spotify, obviously, you know, joining, but I'm just too afraid of that, man.
I don't know. It's very much what you make of it. And
yeah.
The circumstance, like, I don't have to propose projects.
Yeah, I know. I know. I just like, me, but. Yeah, that just does not sound like an idea.
I thought, are you thinking about Stripe? I'm sure Stripe has some openings.
I was. And then just working with Stripe with the people there over the past few months is like I've seen how kind of they work and it's as advertised. So yeah. Stripe has always interested me. Again, mm-hmm. big company, you know. But there is a lot of autonomy there that I see at Stripe. I'm sure it's there at mm-hmm. Shopify as well. But it's not really just the autonomy. It's just, you know, with big organizations comes, you know.
Different rules.
A lot of rules. So, yeah, I don't know. I've been just thinking about that.
I think Tool would be great, though. That'd be pretty sweet. Because they obviously come from a structure that is conducive for Rails devs, right? Thoughtbot mm-hmm. does a great job with how they, I've never heard bad things about Thoughtbot, like from any of the people who have worked there, which is pretty cool. But
yeah, and I was thinking of like how to apply for them. Because mm-hmm. Basically their application says like, you know, show us some stuff and do some things. And I was thinking about like designing the API that they're about to release and seeing like, this is what I think an API would look like. Cause they're trying to do rooms and channels type of thing now. I don't know. What do you think about that idea of like, of that sort of like application? Because I feel like if I was, you know, looking for people, the people that would offer me like, hey, this is really relevant. Mm-hmm. Maybe even give you ideas of stuff that you're, you know, I don't have any inner knowledge of the platform or anything like that, but maybe they would find value of me kind of just thinking of what I thought the API would look like.
Yep. No, I think that sounds good. And also it puts you in a weird spot. Like, so do they want to see the code or do they want to see the final product? That would be my,
I don't,
because in a lot
I don't
of
have any qualms with showing them code as well, whether it's from this or that. I was just thinking of like ways to make myself valuable to them.
Yeah, to make an impact or like to stick out, right?
Yeah, I know I can code the stuff. Like, I'm not worried about
no, but I'm looking at it from the perspective of like,
yeah,
if they want to see code, that's actually kind of hard in a lot of situations because, like, for me, for instance, right? For the last year, I have literally no code that I am permitted to show them if I wanted to, because I work for a company that owns that code, unless I'm, you know, on a team that's working on open source stuff for the company. So yeah, I think that's kind of problematic. So
also just seeing the final version of code really doesn't do like, as a person that hired people, like that doesn't do anything. Like how you get to that code is much more important.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So
just thinking of that.
Yeah. That's an idea for sure. Cause yeah, it's like, oh, I built this. Here's the API. Like you can almost just give them the API spec. It doesn't even need to work.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Like, exactly. Just like, this is what I think this should look like shape wise, but you know, I don't know what your primitives are behind the scenes for a lot of these things, but
what I could assume
your experience working with, honestly, if they have channels and rooms and stuff, like your experience with Slack, leads to a lot of like, oh, I know how this stuff is structured and, you know, pulling in collaborators on different things. And
that was the other idea I had too, is if I designed that API, I could then build a quick Slack bot, you know, a slash tuple that does a slash tuple and starts up a, you know, a room. So
do they already have a slash tuple command?
No, they're actually working from what I understand. They need this. They need rooms. And stuff. They need like a destination for people to go to. in order to have like these integrations of like calendars and Slack and stuff.
Nice. Because
there's no like URL. There's no URL for a room, right? Mm-hmm. And that's really what they need. So.
Okay. Yeah, you should definitely apply for this, though. I think you'd be great for this based on what it sounds like they're building. Like yeah. You on the WebRTC front, probably not your skill set. Nope. But the rest of the stuff sounds
C++, totally. I haven't really fucked with that for a long time.
It's been a minute.
Cool. Yeah, also, the only thing I'm worried about with the tuple stuff is I don't want my career to be Rails going forward.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. So I would also raise that question, I think, to them. I think it's something, I don't think they have a big like back end that they need. Mm-hmm. Just an assumption because they don't really
I assume they already have a back end though.
It does. They do. But it's just from what I understand, just stores users and relationships and because mm-hmm. all the web stuff goes through, you know, peer to peer. So there's no like going through a server. Anyway, so I think their backend's lightweight and, you know, with Elixir and Phoenix being built on communication, like I just see that platform as more valuable down the road for them, but I don't know, maybe something I raise or I don't know. Anyway.
Okay.
Cool, man.
Cool. That sounds great.
Anything else?
Nope, I'm good. I'm just going to get back to, work first because this is the middle of the workday. But then I'm going to go back to doing some mermaid stuff and trying to crank a tutorial out. So
I am going to go work a little bit more and then I'm going to go ride my bike because we've got pedals and pints tonight. So
pedals and pints. Is that like a bar?
You go to a brewery? Yeah, you ride to a brewery. They host it and then they ride to another bar or brewery that serves their beer.
Gotcha. Okay. So quick question for the lawyers in the audience. Can you get a DUI on an e-bike?
You can.
Okay.
Yep.
Can you get a DUI on a standard bike?
You can get a DUI on a golf cart. So I'm assuming you can also get a DUI on really anything that's not street legal.
Okay. So I'm going to need you to test this for me sometime by getting real hammered and then riding a child's tricycle in front of a cop. Well, who you have a neighbor that is a cop. So see what you can do. Did you see, would you pick me up? You just have to ask him. Just be like, this is a hypothetical, but give me a second. And then go back, pick up a tricycle and like.
Okay. I did almost all of those steps except the tricycle.
Okay.
So, I passed a cop, trash on an e-bike. Nothing happened.
Okay. See.
Don't do that at home, kids.
No, don't do that.
Don't get trashed. Yeah. Mm-mm.
It's not a good idea.
Don't do as I do. All right.
All right, man.
Peace.